Check out Dobbs April deals before you make your next tire or service purchase, including super BOGO deals on oil changes, plus great deals on new sets of tires. Bumper to bumper, your dollars go further at Dobbs. Click on gotodobbs.com for April deals now.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Bring out the Zamboni!
It's time for Curbside with the voice of the Blues, Chris Kerber. Brought to you by Scott Lee Heating Company, a proud Mitsubishi Electric Elite contractor.
Right here tonight, we got the pregame for the Blues and Flames starting at 6 o'clock, and then you'll hear the voice of the Blues take over, Chris Kerber, who joins us right now via the 101 ESPN Celebrity Line. Kerbs, how you doing today?
Fellas, I'm good. It's opening day, one of my favorite days of the year. Then we get Blues hockey. Doesn't get much better.
Yeah, you got a lot of action right now going on in sports. Of course, like you said, opening day, you got the Blues tonight and a Sweet 16 going on in the NCAA. So, yeah, a lot of good stuff. Kerbs, unfortunate break with Oscar Sundquist. Tears his ACL again. Tough break for him. Fortunately, he'd already signed the contract from a personal standpoint. But what did the Blues lose with Oscar Sundquist not being in the lineup tonight?
You know, I thought, and I can't remember which player it was after the game, or maybe it was yesterday. I don't remember which player said it, but you use the phrase, you know, he's the head of our engine. And you remember, Craig Berube used to describe him as the head of the snake for this team. You know what you're getting. Even today, walking out of there, you know, I saw him this morning, and, you know, he's smiling, he's frustrated, he's disappointed. I had talked to him a few weeks ago about, you know, the fact that he just feels good. He hadn't been this healthy in a while. And so the devastating injury that's going to have him rehabbing through the offseason, and, you know, that's a shame for him. But again, his attitude's positive. He was smiling, you know, around his team. And that's what you're going to miss. And none of that offense was a little hit and miss, and especially down the stretch, a little more miss than hit. But definite hard work. And so, you know, on a personal level, he's such a nice man, such a friendly character that I'm extremely happy for him that extension got done a couple of weeks ago before this happened.
Kerbs, with that injury, obviously he's down, but you get a couple of younger guys who are going to get an opportunity in Bull Duke and Dean. What have you seen from them in their first few games as young players in this league?
I don't know. It's going to take a while to really understand what they do. Like, you know, honestly, Kerry, if you're looking at Bull Duke and Dean as bottom six players for your team, then I don't think you're getting from them what you thought you were getting from them when you drafted the one and traded for the other. But it's way too early to understand how that can pan out. I don't think either one of them, if they had solid seasons when they were playing down in Springfield, and then they were so focused on teaching both these guys just how to be a pro that, you know, again, when I talked to Tim Taylor and other people in the organization, it wasn't an overly abundance of concern when it comes to the lack of offense from both of them. Having said that, there was still a lack of offense from them on a regular basis down there. So what type of players are going to project to be? I don't know. But the one thing that I'm waiting to see, you know, and Jake Neighbors, for example, has done it this year, taking that step. You know, but much like you're going to see with the Cardinals and Victor Scott, if he can do it, or whatever Mason Wynn does, and you know the bottom line is opportunity is there, and are you the kind of player that's going to take advantage of it? You know, are you going to Wally Pipp somebody? You know, and that's something I'd like to see. I want to see one of these young guys come in, you know, go on one of those tears that makes somebody go, okay, we've got to put them up the lineup. You know, and I love the Wally Pipp reference just because, you know, you never know when an opportunity opens up. Do you take advantage of it? And these guys have that opportunity now. And the games still matter. I mean, this is great evaluation time for Doug Armstrong because these games still matter a great deal. You've got Vegas playing tonight at Winnipeg. And Drew Bannister put it best. He goes, six can quickly become four. And then you see what happens on Saturday night. So this is still a great evaluation opportunity for Doug Armstrong when it comes to those young guys.
Kurtz, what else are you looking for down the stretch? You just talked about the young guys, and there's a lot of focus there. But, you know, what about the rest of the team?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. I don't know. I think the rest of the team is what you've seen, right? And I don't know if that's a downer for some, but, I just don't think with 10 games to go, we're going to see Jordan Kyrou all of a sudden, you know, start putting that puck in every single shift the way, you know, depending on the time it is and stop turning it over at the lines. I don't think we're going to see, you know, all of a sudden a cleaner game from Buchnevich like we have seen before, although I am happier that we're going to see him back on the wing, and I'm excited to see what Jake Neighbors does with those two guys tonight. So I'm looking forward to that. I think the makeup of this team, Anthony, is what it is.
Sure.
So what I'm looking for is, honestly, you've got a favorable schedule, and you've proven you can skate with the best team, so they could beat Edmonton when Edmonton comes into town. They've proven that they could hang with Colorado, and they're going to have to get points in those games. So, I guess it comes down to one thing. I'm just looking for compete. Compete and play like it matters and see where the chips fall. I think the team is pretty much where Doug Armstrong expected it to be. I don't think it's a surprise to anybody, but when you do look at the missed opportunities, I think there's going to be the feeling, one, you're missing up an opportunity when you've got great goaltending all season long, but some of those other games you've missed opportunities as well. So I guess strong compete is got to be the name of the game if you're going to get a chance.
Curbs, you talked about Buchnevich going back to the wing and Neighbors going up to that top line. Is this the best setup for Robert Thomas to have the most success he can have with those two on his wings?
Robert Thomas is an interesting year because, you know, one of the things you look for, Gary, and I'm sure you played with plenty of guys like this. There are guys that are really, really good in what they do, but they're not necessarily guys that make other people around them better, if that makes sense. Then there are guys that are really good at what they do and make others around them better. And I think you're starting to see that Robert Thomas is one of those guys that can make whoever he plays with better. He's had success with Jordan Kyrou on his wing and Buchnevich. He's had success with Shen on his wing. He's had success when out with Neighbors as well. So I like the fact that Robert is moving into that category. What I like about Jake Neighbors on this line is Robert and Pavel have been really good with their puck battles and winning the puck along the boards. When they look up, they're going to see number 63 in front of the net, and that's going to give them opportunities. One, it's going to open up some ice because somebody's got to cover Jake. The other thing it's going to do is if they throw the puck at the net, there's points there because Jake's going to find a way to bang it in. That, to me, is a different dynamic. With Kyrou on that line, there wasn't the net front presence, you know, that was there as much. And so that's what I'm kind of curious to see how that plays out and if they take advantage of that.
Chris Kerber joins us right now in the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN. I don't want to get too far ahead with the offseason stuff because, you know, we will at some point, and hopefully it's delayed, Kerbs, but we will at some point dive into the offseason. But when you're looking at just this group, you're looking, you know, I know that nobody wants that. I certainly don't. I don't want Doug Armstrong's job. I know you don't either because it's very difficult. But when you're kind of assessing things from his viewpoint here with contracts and whatnot, where do you think the area of focus could be following the season?
I think what you've seen from this team is there needs to be a shift in something defensively, whether that be with the core itself, or, you know, even just how the team looks at it. Again, the first 10, 15 games of the year, things are looking really good. And then it hasn't, like, too many teams, I think, have been able to play in the Blues offensive zone almost as if they're on a 5-on-5 power play. So whether it be systematically or personnel, something's got to give there. This is a team that is still giving up the most backdoor scoring opportunities than just about any team in the league, and that's a trend of three straight years now. So I think without a doubt, the continued focus defensively on this team and how they're going to defend in their own zone has got to be a focus. The other part of it is rounding out how you distribute your money up front. You know, obviously Snuggerud looks like a player that's going to be turning pro, and I believe he's in, and so do others. He's a straight to NHL kind of player. Don't know the scenario with Dvorsky. We don't know the scenario yet. And you listen to Doug, maybe a couple years away on the two young Swedish kids that they drafted in the first round. We'll see how that all plays out. But there also has to be like a distribution. You're going to see some free agents go that didn't pan out this year. And, you know, to me, there's still going to be a hole maybe in your top six. But, boy, oh, boy, if you can find a way to round out that third line with more consistent offense, Anthony, that's going to be huge. I mean, you've got guys that have got, you know, way too inconsistent offense for your third line. And you've got to have a third line with threat in today's National Hockey League. So I guess the bottom line is there's plenty of room for focus. But if you look at the way the season goes and you think, holy smokes, you beat a stinky San Jose team in San Jose, and you beat Colorado Columbus on that road trip in early December when they were awful, you're right in a playoff spot.
Sure.
So I think Doug also has to look at it and say, look, I know we're not Stanley Cup contenders, but he's got the core here that definitely is a playoff caliber team, and he can put it over the bump to get them back in.
Well said. All right, Curbs, we'll let you go. We know you got work to do tonight. We'll be listening right here on 101 ESPN as the Blues take on the Flames.
All right, guys, have an awesome rest of the week.
You too. Thanks, Curbs. That's Chris Kerber, voice of the Blues here on 101 ESPN as the Blues, again, they take on the Flames.